It's Wednesday, and therefore it's Ask Uncle Lee Day. So if you've got any questions, leave them in the comments to one of the Ask Uncle Lee videos, and I'll add it to the list. Otherwise, let's get going. First, an introduction or an advert or something like that. I'll put something in here. Welcome to my channel. You are entering the world of magic and mysticism with your host, Lee W. Johnson. Keep the lights on and help improve the channel by becoming a supporter for just $2.99 per month. Hit the join button. Okay, so question time. Oops, wait, that wasn't supposed to happen. Let's go back to here, and then we'll go here, and then we'll go here. There we go. All right, so first question is from God King Cthulhu. Thank you for your content. It is very appreciated. It's an absolute pleasure. Aside from Hexagradior, what other writings, authors are there for demonolatry? Okay, so I hadn't read Hexagradior before this, and I'm pretty sure somebody else mentioned it previously, so I thought I'd give it a read. It's a good book. I am a bit confused about it, though. It seems like, because the first third of the book is really the Hexagradior, some abstract book that apparently somebody wrote in, if I remember correctly, the 40s, which was like the ultimate book on magic. And it really kind of read like something out of the 70s, you know, when they were doing Xenocard experiments with ESP and things like that. Just reminded me of that. It's interesting. It's a good read. I see a lot of people have had some benefits from it. So, you know, that's good. But then the rest of the book is just a brief examination of various things, like, you know, what is Christianity? What is Judaism? What is Islam? What is Wicca? What is Satanism? What is demonolatry? So it's got these brief explanations of all these things. And then it goes into the grimoires, sort of various different grimoires, and just has it's these brief kind of almost like blurbs of the books themselves. And then goes into some concepts. And then it's got this whole section at the back, which is spells and rituals, which is just lifted out of the various grimoires and whatnot. So it was interesting. It's if anybody is just starting to get their feet wet within not just demonology, but magic itself, really, I suppose, and specifically grimoire tradition, the Solomonic tradition, it's kind of a good intro to all of the various different things. But yeah, good book. The author is Nemo. Don't know who Nemo is, actually, apart from an emperor in Rome. But yeah, it really is just a basic introduction to various concepts and things. But yeah, good book to read. Anyway, so you wanted to know about other authors and writings. So I've got a list. I'm going to go through the list, then I'm going to go through demonology.org, which is a fantastic source, so we'll have a look at that. Steve Savedo, or Savedo, I'm not sure how to pronounce that surname. He wrote Goetic Evocations, which always comes up. It's often mentioned by Connolly, myself, but very good book. Often recommended, usually recommended, actually. Some others. This gets very much more into the grimoire traditions, but isn't that kind of ceremonial, Solomonic approach to the grimoires where you are binding and disrespecting the spirits? Some authors would be Jake Stratton Kent is brilliant, absolutely amazing. Aaron Leach is also a good source. Rufus Opus wrote A Modern Goetic Grimoire. Great book, loved it. Some of the practice in there, or some of the ways he actually talks, does things, actually gave me the idea. I read it recently again and gave me the idea of creating what I call the boon box, It's a spirit box dedicated to Boone. I used to do it years ago, but the reading it again kind of triggered memories, so I decided to do another one. And it's working very well, it really is. And also someone you might want to have a look up is Carol Pope Runyon. He started the Ordo Templi Astartes, and did some great research into working with the Goetia and other various grimoires. Coming back to Hexagradia, there's actually a mention of him in there after the mention of the actual position of the triangle of art with the scrying mirror in the center of it. The usual way we do this, well, a lot of people do it, is to put the scrying mirror on the triangle on the floor, flat on the floor. The instructions actually are very specific to certain feet away from the circle and up. And Pope Runyon kind of experimented with this idea and elevated the triangle, put it on a stand, and stood with two candles. The seer would then stand with two candles, holding two candles, and gazing at the mirror straight ahead of them. So it wasn't flat on the floor, it was actually raised at a slight angle, and then you sort of gaze at the mirror directly. So very good authors. But what I wanted to do, as I said, was go through demonolatry.org, which is very much the generational demonolatry website. And there's some great resources on this. If you go into Library and Archives, there's a list of affordable demonolatry books. There's a link to the demonolatry phone app, a directory. Then it goes in, it's got a few free books. Ato Votem, the Demonolatry Prayer book is in there. Hidden, Living with the Uninitiated. Infernal Colopateron excerpts. Keys of Death, the free version, is there. Modern Demonolatry is there. Hungarian version also. Modified Demonolatry is there. Scales of Ma'at. So there's some great books in there for free. And then there's information, links for information. So in here, got a variety of different things. There is recommended reading for demonolatry, but there is a link for recommended traditional generational demonolatry authors. So let me just open that so it downloads a PDF. Okay, so we've got William Breyer. Unfortunately, William Breyer's books were great. Unfortunately, somebody actually asked me, I'd actually recommended them recently to somebody, and they went and checked and they're not available anymore. And I have no idea why. They've kind of just been taken away. Even the Kindle versions, the ebook versions have been just disappeared. But they were great, so hopefully they'll come back. But anyway, S. Connolly's on the list. Valerie Corbin, haven't read anything from her. M. Delaney is very good. M. King is excellent. That's the Divine... Oh, I can't remember the book's name now. I did a review of it recently. Anyway, Martin McGregor's on the list. Very interesting. It's more Satanism, but also works demonolatry. Unfortunately, Martin McGregor, I see, has gone over to the Coetting camp, so I don't really want to support that. Personal choice. B. Moreland, haven't read anything from them. Any Pithus, haven't read anything from them. E. Purswell and J. Thorpe. I have read some books from them, and very good. So there is a list on here. I would definitely go and explore the website if you haven't already. It's great. I'll just get back to it quickly. See if there's anything else on there. There's also the Black Serpent magazine archive in there, which you might want to go through. So, yeah, it's packed with information, specifically if you go to that link in the menu, Library and Archives. There's also additional resources. Let me just double check what that was again. There's supplies and services, different websites, authors, their books, publishers, so where to find them, demonology groups and informational sites. There's House of Della Pittore and the Satanic Enclave of Great Britain. So yeah, fantastic resource, really. Just go to this website, you'll get a ton of information. All right, so I'm going to go back to the questions and go to the next one. There are some questions which are very, very in-depth, and I'm going to leave those for future ones. I think one question might actually end up taking up... Sorry, I just want to increase my exposure here because it seems to have gone... I've got problems with lights at the moment. One question might take up an entire video, so I'm going to leave those ones for their own exclusive videos and skip around a bit. So the next one is from Carmenant 5865. Hi Uncle Lee, a question: how do you know if the entity who you are talking to or who is talking to you is the real one or a parasitic entity? Can you use the correct sigils and ends but attract not the demon, but who you are pretending to call, but other beings? Yes, you can attract other beings. And a couple of examples here might be if you have not gotten to the point where you actually can communicate with the spirits, and that's why it's always a good idea before you actually go into work with the spirits to learn how to communicate with them. You know, a spirit might come along. You'll do all the work. You'll gaze at the sigil. You'll chant the end. Whatever you're doing in order to attract the spirit to you, so you can work with it. And the spirit will come along, and you'll say X, Y, and Z. I want this. I will give you that. Whatever it may be, and the spirit isn't very happy with the exchange, or wants you to do something in particular, and tells you this, but you can't, you haven't developed that communication. So you're basically not hearing or not listening to what the spirit's saying, but you carry on, you go ahead anyway, and the spirit kind of gets a bit, you know, impatient and annoyed because you're not listening to the spirit. The spirit wants you to do something before you actually go ahead and ask for whatever it is. You know, I think you get the idea, whatever the situation may be. And then the spirit clears off. But you continue because you think you're talking to the spirit. And so you're continuing, and this astral parasite kind of picks up on this and goes, oh, I can pretend to be this spirit now. And they will come along and, you know, hold on, grab on and whatnot. There's that situation. There's many different ways this can happen, but yes, you can do the work and attract an astral parasite instead of the actual spirit. So how do you know? You test it. You use the skill of discernment, and you test the spirit. And this is why we keep saying, you know, it doesn't matter what spirit it is, whether it's an angel or a god or a goddess or whatever it is, you test it. You make sure it is the spirit you want to work with and not some abstract parasitic entity, and that's why we keep coming back to test the spirits. And I've done a lot of videos on this channel about testing spirits, and you'll find a lot of information in other books about testing spirits as well, because it's one of those necessary things. You have to test the spirit and make sure it's the spirit you're working with. It's the only way to make sure that it is the spirit you want to work with. Test them. So it's really as simple as that, actually. Okay, so next question is from Kiawata1. I think I said that right. Lee, firstly, thank you for maintaining your channel. It's a vital resource for me and works very well in correspondence with S. Connolly's books. It's an absolute pleasure. On the subject of paranormal devices such as spirit boxes, the various apps like Necrophonic, etc., what is your opinion on using these various tools whilst practicing invocations? Do you think they really work? I don't work with them myself, so I can't really answer them from a personal perspective, but I have heard from various people who do work with spirits and have experimented with various tools like these. And yes, if they're used correctly, and if you've got something which actually does work, they work. They're quite functional. And I say something that actually does work. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can download on your phone. I've tried them. They're absolute rubbish. It's just a scam. But there are devices out there which actually do what they're actually supposed to be doing. So I would suggest experimenting with them. You know, coming back to radionics, for instance, a lot of people think that that's a load of rubbish because it's working with not even electricity, it's working with energy, and it's working with specific electronics, but quite often there's no electrical power added to it. So people say, oh, well, how can it work? It works. If you get it right and you know what you're doing with it, it can actually be a very useful device. Same with this. If you've got something which actually does what it's supposed to do and you know how to use it and you're using it properly, it can be a very, very useful device. At the same time, you know, I think at that point you've already sort of built the skills to actually communicate with the spirits anyway without the devices. So you know, it just becomes a point of interest really at the end of the day. But not much I can say about that myself. All right, so let's... Oh, that's a very, very long one. That's going to take an entire show. Okay, so this is from Ki. It's K-I-I-I-I-3-3-3-3-3. You will be tagged, so you will pick up who you are. Question for Uncle Lee series. Question regarding safety in entity work. How often should someone cleanse their space when talking to an entity? Does it have to be every time they talk to the said entity, or maybe when asking for help or spells or just prayer? Okay, so when it comes to cleansing spaces and cleansing yourself, it's not really in relation to the spirits. It's just something you should be doing all the time on a regular basis. Just as you probably have a shower or a bath every day to clean off the physical dirt, and you clean your home. You know, you wash the dishes, you clean the counters, you sweep or vacuum or mop the floors, you dust, all of these things. You know, we do these things because we want a clean environment. If we don't have a clean environment, we start sinking down into a negative state. We start breeding laboratory experiments in the kitchen, and you know, on plates and stuff. And it's not very healthy. And we pick up parasites. We pick up internal physical parasites through interaction with dirty spaces, unclean spaces. And therefore, we clean. We clean our home, we clean ourselves, we make sure that we are clean so that we do not fall into that negative space, which then will pick up things like parasites and bugs and things like that, which make us sick because it's just unhealthy. Same reason, energetically, we do exactly the same thing. We clean our space energetically. We clean ourselves energetically so that we do not fall into that negative space and therefore pick up parasites, and in this case, energetic or astral parasites, parasitic entities. So it's exactly the same thing physically or energetically. You are going to be cleaning the space. And it's not got to do with, you know, I'm going to be working with this spirit, therefore I need to clean the space now. And then a month later, you do some work again, going to work with the spirit, therefore I must clean the space. It's not got to do with that. It's got to do with just keeping your space clean as you would keep your space physically clean. You just keep it energetically clean. And then you just continue doing the work that you need to do. But it's really, that's really it. Safety and entity work, keeping the space clean. That's really what we're talking about. It's not about working with the spirits. It's about keeping yourself clean, so that you don't become energetically dirty. And if we become energetically dirty, then we pick up negativity. We pick up that negativity. We start picking up parasites. Exactly the same with physical dirt. If our environment or ourselves become incredibly dirty, we start getting into a negative space. We start breeding things that shouldn't be bred in our homes, and then we pick up parasites and bugs and all these things, and we become unhealthy, become a negative, pick up all this negativity. It's exactly the same situation. So yeah, and if we are doing the work, we're doing the regular cleansing, cleaning, and everything else, we are keeping our space in a higher vibrational state instead of sinking it down into this negative vibrational state. And therefore, the parasites can't hold on because their energetic frequency doesn't match ours, and therefore they can't affect us. So that's where it all comes together. And yeah, I think that's, or maybe when asking for help, and yeah, that answers the question, I think. All right, so I'm going to leave that one here today, and we'll come back with more next week. Have a good one for now. Cheerio. Bye bye.